Welcome to Matters of Fact. I'm Christian Esguera. Today on the program, we'll talk about President Rodrigo Duterte's statement that his statement way back during the 2016 presidential election campaign about taking a jet ski near the border of the Spratlys or on Scarborough Shoal and plant the Philippine flag there to stake our claim was just a joke, and that he said those who believed him back then were stupid. Now, how do we determine when the president is joking and when he is not, especially in matters of foreign policy, especially this late in his administration? We'll talk about that later in the program with Chief Presidential Legal Counsel Salvador Panelo. The COVID-19 variant believed to be responsible for the catastrophic surge in India has reached local shores. But as Rafael Bosano tells us, it remains to be seen whether this will lead to tighter restrictions.
After detecting three variants of concern and samples sequenced by the Philippine Genome Center, the Philippine Health Department on Tuesday announced that it has also detected the B.1.617.2 variant in the country. This variant, first detected in India, is believed to be driving the brutal surge there. The two Filipinos who tested positive with a variant are both sea-based overseas Filipino workers. One of them came from Oman and arrived in the country on April 10. He was quarantined in a hotel in the National Capital Region, and he was tagged as recovered last April 26. He is currently in Region 12. The other OFW returned on April 19th from the United Arab Emirates. He was quarantined in a facility in central Luzon and was considered recovered on May 6. He is currently in Region 5. The DOH has earlier said that 155 Filipinos with travel history to India arrived in the country before travel restrictions were imposed. But the agency says the two Filipinos with the Indian variant came from another batch of returning Filipinos.
No history of travel to India, or they did not come from India nor pass through India. They were part of the sequencing because they were the part of this batch that we sequenced for the returning overseas Filipino.
The Indian variant has several mutations which can be found in other variants of concern, the L452R and E484Q.
The L452R mutation has been associated with increased transmissibility, meaning mas dumataas yung posibilidad na mas mabilis siyang matransmit from one person to another, as well as what we call the reduced antibody neutralization po. Meaning, pwede po na ma-evade ng virus yung mga antibodies nito among those who have recovered or yung pong mga vaccinated na individuals. The other significant mutation found in this variant is the E484Q. Ang kanilang potential clinical significance is mas kumakapit po sila dun sa ACE2 receptor, meaning pwede siyang mag-escape, no, dun sa mga antibodies.
The DOH has also said that it cannot be determined through genome sequencing if a particular variant is already predominant, since they only select samples from returning Filipinos or from areas with observable clusters. But why is it important to know the variants?
The final implication of this is yung effect on the vaccines. For now, mukhang okay naman yung epekto ng vaccine sa variants, especially for preventing severe disease.
Meanwhile, samples from crew members of the MV Athens currently docked in Manila have yet to undergo sequencing. Of the 12 that were re-swabbed, 11 turned positive, but only 9 samples were deemed fit for sequencing. Malacanang says while the so-called double mutant variant is now here, the country's pandemic-weary economy will weigh heavily on any decisions concerning new quarantine classifications.
Sabihin na lang po natin na bagamat ginagawa natin ang lahat para po mapigilan ang pagpasok ng variant nito, hindi pa naman po tayo sigurado rin na meron ng community transmission. Dahil matindi naman po yung ating pag-iingat.
Experts say that the presence of new variants does not affect the mode of transmission, and the public is reminded to double efforts in following health and quarantine protocols. Rafael Bosano, ABS-CBN News.
Joining us now is the infectious diseases expert, Dr. Anna Ong Lim. She's also a member of the steering committee of the Healthcare Professionals Alliance Against COVID-19. Good morning, Dr. Ong, and thank you for joining us again on the program.
Morning, Christian.
Okay, let's talk about this new variant that was first detected in India. What do we know so far about this, especially since at least two cases have been confirmed here in the Philippines already?
Based on reports coming out of India, it's the predominant isolate that they have right now. And also, it seems to be that they are documenting increased transmissibility of this particular variant, which is perhaps why the WHO has included it as one of the variants of global concern.
And how does this compare with existing variants? For example, the UK, the South African, and the variant from Brazil?
Well, no direct comparisons, no, in terms of transmissibility or lethality, because of course they're not circulating in the same milieu. No, you have different population densities, different how would you say this capacities, no, for the healthcare system. But some of the mutations that are found in the Indian variant are also seen or related to the ones that are found in the other variants that have already been identified as causing concern. And so that's also perhaps the reason why they have these features of increased transmissibility in common.
Okay. Now, the variant from India has been described as a double mutant. What exactly does that mean?
The spike protein is actually the site of most of the mutations that occur in the virus. And so it's possible actually to identify and compare the current variant with the original one that came out of Wuhan. And then the number of variations is typically the one that's referred to. Like if there's only one single point of variation, then it's a single mutant in quotes. Then if there are two points of variation, then typically that's what they will refer to as a double mutant.
Okay. And of course, also talk to us about the the dynamics among these variants. For example, here in the Philippines, there are other confirmed COVID-19 variants here in the Philippines. And now you have at least two confirmed cases of the Indian variant. I mean, how do they relate or connect with each other, let's say, in a particular population or community?
Well, currently, we know that they actually coexist. Well, what we have found, no, in our country is that we already have a wider spread of our UK variant, and we are consistently detecting cases of the South African variant. We don't have any cases of the Brazil variant beyond that one identified case. So with that, and of course, we just isolated these two cases with the Indian variant. So with that, we can see that it can actually coexist within a community. And what we're hoping really is to prevent further spread, because you can imagine if you have several different variants going around, then it's entirely possible that more will arise and cause even more problems.
Yeah, and of course, there's also this tendency among some people to think that, for example, this variant can be contained, the other can be contained, for instance, right? Is it really possible, for instance, to contain this new variant from India here in the Philippines, given the fact that we already have a sustained community transmission of COVID-19?
Possible naman, no, Christian, kasi the way by which it transmits is still the same. You still have droplet transmission as its main mode. And then currently, diba, WHO has also started to emphasize that we need to watch out for airborne transmission. So yeah, it's the same mechanism, therefore the same ways by which we're supposed to be protecting ourselves. So what this calls for is really more consistent compliance and perhaps continued vigilance, no, from our government leaders, our community leaders in enforcing the these minimum public health standards.
Mm-hmm. Now, in this case, for instance, it's possible to contain this this variant, and you, based on reports coming out of India, this is more transmissible. But the other concern is, do existing vaccines work against this new variant from India, as far as we know?
Well, this is still something that's requiring further study. But in general, with the variants, the existing vaccines have continued to show some kind of efficacy. Of course, it won't be the same as the original targets, no? But it's still better than not being vaccinated, because without a vaccine, then you don't have any kind of protection.
Mm-hmm. And speaking of vaccines, of course, local governments, even the national government, of course, have been trying to boost the mass vaccination drive here in the Philippines. But of course, it's also dependent on the supplies that we have been getting. I'd like to relate this in the context of the seeming reliance of a good number of people on the antiparasitic drug ivermectin as a prophylaxis or treatment for COVID-19. But on the other hand, there seems to be hesitancy in certain communities as far as vaccines are concerned. How do you see this? What do you think explains this this relation between the two?
Well, I'm hoping that the people who might be thinking about using ivermectin, whether as a prophylaxis or treatment, won't automatically discount benefiting from the vaccine. Sana they don't tie one with the other, because even if the jury is out on whether ivermectin really works, and there are a couple of studies that are ongoing that have really good methodology that we feel that the results will be reliable, meron na tayong available na pwedeng pakinabangan. So these vaccines are already here. They're accessible. They're for free. And sana, even as we're waiting for the results for the trials for ivermectin, that they will benefit from the protection that's being offered by vaccines.
Okay. Now, as an infectious diseases expert, what do you tell people, let's say, if they approach you or whenever they approach you and ask whether they could use ivermectin as prophylaxis or even treatment for COVID-19?
Well, I tell them that there isn't any solid evidence yet that this will work. And of course, there's always the potential for harm, because the doses that were utilized, no, for the initial laboratory studies used hundreds of doses that are hundreds of times higher than the ones that are used for the current indications. So wala pang masyadong evidence for benefit, may potential for harm. So mas magandang mas maingat.
Okay, Dr. Anna Ong Lim, thank you very much for joining us this morning.
Thank you, Christian.
We are now joined by Chief Presidential Legal Counsel Salvador Panela to talk about the President's latest statements about his, about the West Philippine Sea. Good morning, Secretary Panela, and thank you for joining us on the program this morning.
Good morning, Christian.
Okay, I'd like to talk about this statement coming from President Duterte, saying that his statement way back in 2016 during the campaign regarding taking a jet ski to Scarborough Shoal, that he was just joking. Is this really what the President meant? And he won't change his statement anymore regarding that. He was really joking.
In the first place, Christian, I cannot even understand why this issue has to come up. The president, when he said that, when he was giving his explanation on the jet ski thing, he was actually reducing that incident into absurdity. In other words, people who know that place should realize by this time that that place from Palawan to that Scarborough Shoal is about how many 150 nautical miles. So it's impossible for you to jet ski there. You're going to lose your time. That's what was the explanation. Moreover,
I don't think people believe that he would actually take the jet ski, but that was indicative of his position regarding Chinese incursions in the West Philippine Sea.
Let me finish. He said that to dramatize the fact that he will not allow China to assault the sovereignty of this country. I think that was clear enough. For me, that was very clear during the campaign.
Okay. So how do we know when the president is joking and when he is not joking, especially when it comes to pronouncements on our foreign policy, especially on the West Philippine Sea?
You will know when the president is joking by using one's common sense. You know when one person is joking or not. Like, for instance, as you said, you know that it would be impossible for you to go there by a jet ski. In other words, using your common sense, you know that the president was not literally meaning that. He was dramatizing that to give a certain effect, to show that he will not allow it.
Okay, but don't you think this is quite problematic, especially in this at this stage in his administration, that he still keeps people guessing as to when he's telling the truth or as to when he's joking, especially when it comes to foreign policy?
I do not think so. The president, when he jokes around, I think people know that he jokes around. When he is very serious, he says so. He explains.
But he is the president, he's no longer the mayor of Davao City.
That does not prevent the president from giving jokes, Christian. He's a human being, and he's a man of humor. He has a sense of humor.
Okay, the problem is this. For instance, Secretary Panelo, when he said that those who believed him back in 2016 were stupid, you actually realize that he was responding to a question from a fisherman whose livelihood was directly affected by Chinese incursion.
You know, like when he said that those who believe in him were stupid, I think he was referring to certain critics who would like to twist facts and circumstances and jokes. He was not referring to the majority of the Filipino people who I'm very sure knew that he was only dramatizing a circumstance.
How sure are you that majority of Filipinos really understood that he was just dramatizing?
Well, the fact that he received an overwhelming votes would tell us that people know him.
But another way of looking at that is that he was able to dupe that many of voters who actually trusted him and believed his statement way back in 2016.
That is what you're saying. Let's ask the voters themselves. Maybe you have to conduct a survey on that.
Precisely. And your statement regarding that should also be the subject of a survey. My point is, he is president now, and whatever he says will be taken as policy, which was the statement that he said when he backed out of that debate, that he actually started the challenge that he made with the retired Justice Carpio.
Again, Christian, I would again repeat what I said. By using one's common sense, you would know when a person is giving jokes or not, when one is serious or not.
So,
and Filipinos have a lot of common sense.
So if people believe the president's statement regarding anything when he speaks before the microphone, is it a matter of believe at your own risk, at the risk of looking stupid?
Christian, again, I will repeat what I said. When the president says something on policy matters, he expresses himself quite clearly. When he wants to give a joke, the joke is also clear. It is only when critics try to twist his jokes into something else that creates a problem.
Okay. I'll ask
for them. For them, at least.
Said,
for them.
Okay. Help us interpret this statement coming from the president, because you know him quite well. And the president said that China is in possession of the West Philippine Sea. Was this a joke or was he serious about this?
I think I made a clarification of that when there was a meeting last Wednesday. And the president said so himself. He was referring to Scarborough Shoal and not to the entire West Philippine Sea.
But he used the term West Philippine Sea.
Yes, but the subject matter was Scarborough Shoal. The circumstances point to Scarborough Shoal.
So what happens now? Did the president just misspoke or misspeak regarding that? That he was
no,
not referring to the entire West Philippine Sea?
You know, the problem with people is that, especially critics, they will twist what he's saying to suit their own purposes. He was speaking of the incident in Scarborough Shoal. All the facts and circumstances he related refers to the particular incident. And so he refers to that and not the entire Philippine Sea.
So why didn't you say that he was referring to the Scarborough shows? Why did he say or use the term or the word or the term?
When you are speaking on certain facts and circumstances regarding an incident, people who listen to you will understand that. But if you're a critic, a detractor, then you will have to twist that facts to suit you against that particular person.
Don't you think that's a convenient excuse to extricate oneself from getting all those equivocal effects of what he was saying?
Why can't he just
own up to a statement?
You're fluctuating. I cannot understand what you're saying.
Come again?
Again?
You hear me now, sir?
I did get that, Christian. I did get that.
Yeah, but by frequently mentioning the critics, don't you think that's a convenient excuse for one to extricate himself from a situation where he actually made a very clear statement?
The president has been president for 5 years. People know him. People know him when he jokes around. People know him when he's very serious. People know him when he's angry or outraged by any particular incident involving any matter of national interest or any matter of law.
Are you sure about that? Because this gives the impression that even at this stage of his administration, he still doesn't take this particular issue of the West Philippine Sea quite seriously.
That's what the critics and you, Christian, say. But you're entitled to your opinion.
Well, I'm asking these questions because these questions need to be asked, whether you describe me as a critic or not. These questions have to be asked, unfortunately for you.
How's that again, Christian?
Okay. Anyway, thank you very much for joining us this morning, Secretary Panela. I wish we had more time to thresh out these issues, but thank you very much for joining us this morning, sir.
Thank you also. Thank you.
And that's our program for today. I'm Christian Esquera. You can listen again to our interviews on the ANT Matters of Fact podcast, available on Apple, Spotify, Google, and Stitcher. You can also get other exclusive content on ANT's YouTube channel. Thank you for watching this morning.